You are listening to the Staying Game Women's Basketball Podcast presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network. We'll take a weekly inside look with Coach Christopher Ray into the women's basketball program. We'll recap last week's games and take a look at this week's opponent. It's the Staying Game Women's Basketball Podcast on the Midwestern State Digital Network.
In Texas, whether it's work or play, Ford trucks lead the way. Like the Ford F-150 with best-in-class payload, or the Ford Super Duty with best-in-class towing. Ford trucks come with premium features that make the Ford F-Series America's best-selling truck for 43 years, and the best-selling truck in Texas. Upgrade to a new Ford F-Series today only at your Texas Ford dealer. Ford F-Series, built for Texas, built for you. Based on 1977-2019 CY total sales.
It's the Staying Game Women's Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Trey Reed, joined by Midwestern State head coach, Christopher Ray. Chris, you guys come into the week on quite the roll, on a seven-game winning streak at the O'Legan Coliseum, and now have won your last three, 5-2 on the season. Feels real good to go into this week playing a team that's only had a chance to play once in Texas women's.
Well, I wouldn't say we necessarily feel good. I mean, it's kind of more of a mystery than feeling good. I would have liked them to play more games, because then we'd have a better sense of who they are. The mystery part of it, it's got us kind of scrambling to see what they'll actually do, and we're just hopefully anxious that, you know, we actually get the opportunity to play. We're going to continue to try and keep our bubble intact and test negative so we can lace them up on Friday.
And what I mean by feeling good, we'll talk about Texas women's more, at least what we do know about them. But we'll talk more about UT Tyler in this segment. Two really big wins for the Mustangs, 82-49 on Friday night, and then 75-50. One of the things that's interesting, I haven't gone back and counted them yet, but this is a team, speaking of the Mustangs, that has the potential to score a lot of points and has scored 30 points in one period three times from my recollection already this year, and there may be another time.
Yeah, we're able to get on a roll, and we've been fortunate that we can score from a variety of different areas. I mean, we can go inside with Haven, Shaughnessy, Mandy, and Hannah, and we can go outside with Sheridan and Morgan, and Morgan can go inside as well, and then Francis can attack the rim, and Francis shot the ball well this last weekend. So yeah, I'm definitely pleased with our offense right now, to where we're able to score for a variety of different ways. But I've really been more impressed with our defense the last three or so weeks. I think we've really figuring out how we need to buckle down and get stops when we need them.
Now, coming into last week, the Mustangs had made 23-pointers all season long heading into Friday night. Then you go 15 of 31. The 15 is a program record. Most any MSU team has made in one game. The 31 attempts are also tied for the most. So that seemingly came out of nowhere, but it sure does help when you have one player set or tie a school record, individual record on her own with 7 3-pointers, talking about Sheridan Bostic.
Yeah, Sheridan's been playing very well of late, and her teammates are finding her, especially in that first half. They were, when we were going inside out on our actions, and Sheridan's allowed to set her feet and square her shoulders. It's, I'm pretty confident that she's going to knock it down. I think she's getting pretty close now, I think, to 50% on the season. And so they're going to continue to look for her. But also we know that teams are probably going to start, you know, shading her way a little bit more, which, you know, it also is a good thing. And Sheridan's not going to be upset by it if they're really trying to take her away, because that means it's going to open up driving lanes for everybody else to get to the rim.
What was fun about that game going down the stretch is, of course, I think everybody in the gym knew that Sheridan needed one more three to hold the single game record on her own. She had a break where she could have pulled up, had a wide open three. I think she passed up two more. But the point is that it probably mattered to her. I'm not going to put words into her mouth, but she really showed her unselfishness with how she handled the moment.
Oh, she's a team player for sure, and she was, I'm sure, in that moment, what we've been preaching all season is to go inside out, and so getting, you know, wide open threes on the break really aren't necessarily what we're looking for. Now, in that moment, I was kind of wanting her to shoot it, just because it'd be nice to for her to have gotten the record to be in sole possession of that, but I think she was still pleased with her performance, and I think the team was as well, knowing that we played a complete game.
Now at what point did she know that was the situation?
Middle of the fourth, I heard it. Either someone had said it or something, or Coach DJ had heard it and sold it to me. And so there was two timeouts that we had. It was a media, and then Tyler had called a timeout to where we drew up specific plays trying to get her the ball in those moments. And she got the ball off, and, you know, whether she maybe rushed it a little bit in the moment, but she still had a great look at it, and so it was just nice to try and be able to scheme that, knowing that the game was kind of well endowed by then, and we were able to still get stops because she didn't hit them. But actually, I think we got an offensive rebound and a putback out of it too, so it kind of worked out.
Now, usually in those moments, I'll take credit for making sure that you or somebody on the bench knows that. But before I even had a chance to do that, I heard it from the bench. So somebody was on the website.
Somebody figured it out somewhere. Yeah. And which is all good, and you know, so we were excited just to be able to have that moment for the team on Friday night.
And what was interesting, you look at the box score in that one. UT Tyler had 15 field goals for the game. You make 15 threes, end up finishing for the game 29 of 59 from the field. So a really good shooting night, almost 50%. Frances King had her second 20-point performance and did it efficiently, 7 of 10 from the field. She had two threes of her own. And when we talk about the threes, Sheridan Bostic was 7, two each from Frances King, Shaughnessy Miller, and Morgan Linehan. And, of course, the ones that kind of set you apart, Eternity Jackson, not a surprise, but, you know, the one that really set it, Haven Risley buries a three from the corner.
Yeah, she stepped into that with confidence on a kickout, and she was wide open, and I was glad that she knocked it down. And it was actually the smartest shot in that possession, too, because I think there may have been, like, 8 or 9 on the clock. So, you know, that's the best look you're going to get with 9 seconds left being that wide open, and she knocked it down. So it was great to see her get that. And, you know, our whole team's been – you know, we kind of tweaked our warm-up about 2 or 3 weeks ago just to try and get us more shots, more reps early in practice with time on the clock, you know, have a little bit of pressure with it. They're competing against each other to see who can get the program record for most shots made in the time allotted within the shooting drill that we've been doing. And so it's been fun, and I think the girls have really bought into that, and it's starting to pay off for us as we saw, and we hope that continues.
And Frances King, we were talking about her finishing with 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. She had a block shot, and I know probably the whole line and the stat line that you'll probably take notice on is the 8 turnovers, but it was a very efficient offensive night for Frances.
Yeah, it was, and we talked about that yesterday after practice. And, you know, a lot of the times when you go back and look at turnovers, you could throw the perfect pass in the world to somebody, and it just bobble through their hands, or something little small like that, or someone gets a little bit of a fingertip on it on what would be a great look and a great pass, and you get marked for the turnover. And so I wasn't overly worried about that. There were a couple that we definitely talked about and, you know, showed, well, here, this is the play we should have made, and it's all just a learning experience. And so she knows that, and she'll bounce back, and I don't think it's going to affect her at all.
And talking about Shaughnessy Miller, you like for her to take those three-pointers, and she made 2. She's really been coming along. It's her second straight double-digit scoring performance. Seems like that can be a nightly occurrence for her.
Yes, it can. Yeah, she can go inside out, and really her being able to knock it down from the outside will help her strength on her drive, especially when we have to play her at the 4 position at times throughout our lineups, to where, and then she'll have hopefully a slower player on her to where then they have to come out and honor her at the 3-point line, which then will allow her to use her speed and get by him and get to the rim, which she has done and did do a very good job in the Commerce and WTE series.
And Morgan Linehan, I know after the game, she was telling me that she didn't think she played very well. And I was like Morgan, you had 8 points. You probably wanted to score more, but you did have 8 points and 7 assists.
Yeah, and she almost had a triple-double in that Friday night game. And Morgan's her biggest critic. It's one of those things I've been trying to work with her and trying to, you know, I want her to keep her confidence high. I don't want her to ever feel like she's down on herself, because she is playing extremely well. And she's been a huge bonus to our program ever since she arrived on campus. And so she's in the gym right now getting up some shots. So we're excited to have her.
and you come back the Saturday game. The way the season's been going, if you have a blowout on the first night, then on the back-to-back, it's a closer game. I know you probably had some concern about that, but the team came out and put up another one of those 30-point quarters to start out, and then expanded that into a 47-19 lead, then really just kind of coasted into the second half. But you really won the game with your first quarter.
Yeah, and that was a huge thing that we were stressing to them, that we knew Tyler was going to come out and show us a fight at some point. We were glad that the fight happened, you know, in that third quarter when they really they played their best stretch of the series, was that third quarter of the second game. And so we were glad that we punched first and got up, especially with our limited numbers this past weekend. We knew we needed to start off well, because if we got into a dogfight with Tyler, it could have gotten a little tough with us not having a deep bench. But I was proud of the girls, the way they followed the game plan right from the start. And then, you know, like you said, we were able to coast a little bit in that second half. We were trying some different looks and trying to work some things because we had a bit of a lead, but then the girls finished it off quite nicely in the fourth.
You talk about being shorthanded, and Morgan Linehan, once again, we'll bring up her name, having to play really in the bigs area, maybe down in the forwards, where she's maybe built more like a guard, you would say. But once again, I mean, she finished with 18 points. She's probably a little more pleased with her scoring output on Saturday. But where she helped again was on the board. She had 8 more rebounds. Seems like she's got 3 or 4 straight games where she's had at least 5 rebounds.
Yeah, and with her size being 5'10", that is a big plus for us to be able to run her at the 4 spot at times. And we definitely had to with our foul trouble and then just being tired. And we had worked that in practice going into that. We knew that we even had a backup plan for Sheridan Bostic to run the 4 spot if need be, and she would have been ready for it had we needed it. So it was definitely where the planning and practice helped pave the way for them to feel comfortable in those moments with us being shorthanded. And hopefully this week we'll get back closer to full strength.
Once again, Frances King had the hot hand, 7 of 12 from the field, 2 more threes, had 19 points. One interesting thing about Frances is, yeah, she's ranks among the conference leaders in assists, but it's her consistency in that. She had 5 more on Saturday, but she's had at least 4 in every game, so you can count on her to be a distributor.
We can, and that part of that's, you know, our offense is designed for her to be able to do that, and the girls know that when she's driving, they're looking to have their hands ready, because she'll definitely find them and get them an open look. And so it's definitely a plus having her on the floor, being able to create not just to score, but to create to find others opportunities to score.
Then when I can't get out of this week without bringing up your freshman that made her first 2 starts of the season of her career, Brittany Fields had 8 points the first night, which is a career high that lasted about 24 hours. She scored 9 points on Saturday and grabbed 7 rebounds. What stood out to me in the box score was her plus minus. She was a plus 23. So the team was very productive in her time on the floor.
Yes, Brittany's been playing great, and she'd been playing great even before this series. It's just, you know, as a freshman, you're just kind of learning what they can do and what you can rely on them to do. And, you know, we had Mandy was playing so well, and with Hannah prior to them both going down, Brittany had some great moments in practice. She had a great inter-squad scrimmage. She played well in the exhibition games. And so this definitely was an opportunity for her to step up this series. And she did just that. And she definitely cemented herself in being able to, for us to be able to rely on her. But she rebounded well. She took 2 big charges, which is, you know, something you don't normally would expect from, you know, a player like her to get knocked over. But she knows how to sell it really well. That was one thing that I fell in love with when we recruited her, was that she was willing to sacrifice her body and take charges. And she even kind of do a third one where the girl ran into her and just kind of bounced off of her. And they called an offensive foul, which the team all loved that one. And she kind of flexed on it, which was fun to see. And we're just excited that she's getting that confidence, because now going into this, you know, almost second half of the season, which is crazy to say that we're only, you know, shortly into it, but we're, you know, getting close to February. We're gonna need a lot of big minutes from her.
And we talk about the players that you're without, but you had a returner this week, another freshman making her collegiate debut, Kenshana Reed. Saturday she had 6 points, and I was thinking, what is going to be my first statistical input for her? And it was a block shot. So mm-hmm. so she's that kind of player, quick hands, quick feet. She provided a lift for you in her limited minutes.
Oh, and the lift was the big thing. That block wasn't an easy block. that's the athleticism that we fell in love with. And she'd been nursing an ankle injury all fall semester, and we were finally getting cleared, and we were she was on a minute restriction to where we were just making sure we eased her back into it because we didn't want any setbacks on that ankle. And it was really great to have her out on the floor. And Friday, she was just kind of feeling her way through. She knocked down 2 free throws and had a couple of good looks on a drive. And then Saturday, she definitely showed where she's going to be, key on the break. Her and Frances King on the break is going to be really nice if we can force turnovers on defense. Those two passing back and forth and getting layups for each other is going to be something really, really special to see in the coming games this season, and then also with them two playing together for 3 more years. So definitely excited to have Ken get going, and hopefully we won't necessarily have a minute restriction on her this coming weekend, and we'll be able to maybe let her loose a little bit more.
You got Maya Kendall back on Friday, but she didn't play Saturday.
Yeah, the knee kind of flared up on her a little bit in the warm-ups, and so we thought it was best. She was on a minute restriction as well. We're being cautious. I know she wants to play terribly. I want her to play. She's been working so hard this year, and so hopefully this week we'll continue to get her rehab and be able to have her for some minutes going in this weekend.
Well, 2 big wins for the Mustangs this week, improving to 5-2 on the season. We'll take a look ahead at what's coming up this week on the second half of the Stang Gang Women's Basketball Podcast on the Mustangs Digital Network.
In Texas, whether it's work or play, Ford trucks lead the way. Like the Ford F-150 with best-in-class payload, or the Ford Super Duty with best-in-class towing. Ford trucks come with premium features that make the Ford F-Series America's best-selling truck for 43 years and the best-selling truck in Texas. Upgrade to a new Ford F-Series today only at your Texas Ford dealer. Ford F-Series, built for Texas, built for you. Based on 1977-2019 CY total sales.
Hey, football fans, leave the Hail Marys for the game and go for the sure thing when it comes to satisfying your craving. When you pick up Raising Cane's for game day, all you have to worry about is the score. Because we've got the food covered with fresh, never ever frozen chicken fingers, cane sauce, and jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. Our chicken fingers are always hand battered and cooked to order. So no matter the score, you'll always win. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
We've invented a new messaging system using the crisp sounds of Bud Light. Crisp Code, Lesson 42. This is how you say happy hour. It's happy hour. Let's go get some Bud Lights. That's it for today.
Brewed with no corn syrup, Bud Light, crisp. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
When you do whatever it takes to get the job done, they say you're on it. At ASCO Equipment, we are on it. It's what we learned as kids, what our parents taught us. To work hard, get the job done, and get it done right. We partnered with Case Construction Equipment because they get the job done too. You can buy and rent Case equipment from us, and we'll service and support it. Just like we support you, because we're on it. Whatever it is, at ASCO, we're on it.
You're listening to the Stang Gang Women's Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Trey Reed, along with Midwestern State head coach Christopher Ray. And Chris, 2 big wins over the weekend over UT Tyler. Now you get to look ahead to Texas Women's. Unfortunately, as we go down to Kitty McGee Arena this week, you'll have to follow along on the Mustangs Digital Network as there will be no spectators. Now, I mean, you probably already read the message. Does no spectators mean no spectators, or is there going to be a pass list, or no?
No means no from what we've heard so far. It'd be nice if that were to change and we could get even maybe a pass list, but I don't think they're having spectators at all for the whole season. And that's just, you know, each county is different. They're going off of Denton County rules or their university. And so it is what it is. I mean, we had to deal with that when we played at Cameron to open the season. And so it was unfortunate that we couldn't have fans there in person, especially at Denton. We've always had a great following being so close to you know, Wichita Falls. And we have a lot of alumni in the Metroplex area that usually would come out. And so, yeah, please log in, watch online or listen online and follow us. But, we'll be hopefully hearing your screams from outside the arena, and we'll play as hard as we can.
As of right now, the broadcast plans are for Pete Stein to call the game on Friday night. And due to the fact that this is a split site, the men are going to be at Dallas Baptist. Pete's going to be at Saturday at Dallas Baptist, kind of way to balance out our coverage. But both of those games will be available on the Mustangs Digital Network through the coverage of Texas Women's University and Dallas Baptist. But kind of in a way, this isn't a surprise that no spectators are allowed, considering that Texas Women's has had 8 of their 9 games postponed, and the only one that they played wasn't on the schedule anyway, and it was Texas A&M International whenever their 2-game set was postponed here in Wichita Falls.
Yeah, it's been very unfortunate for Coach Gilson and her club to keep getting wrapped up in either contact tracing or them testing positive. And so, you know, we're anxious to play, and I know they've got to be anxious to play. I can't imagine what it would be like to be at this point of the season and only have played 1 game. So we know they're going to come in fired up to play us, and we're going to have to answer that enthusiasm, and hopefully our experience from our extra games played will be a benefit to us.
And in their lone game that they played, they came within 5 points, lost 60-55 to Texas A&M International. The Dust Devils are having an exceptional year up to this point. They're 8-1. They'll be tested over the next 2 weeks, playing against Lubbock Christian and West Texas A&M. So we'll find out who they are. But we do know that they're a decent ball club. So yep. Texas Women's playing within 5 in their lone game of the season thus far has to show you something.
Oh, they're always going to be well coached with Coach Gilson, and they're going to play hard. And we've had a lot of really close and tough games with them over the last decade, really, that ever since Coach Gilson's been there. And so we know we've got to bring it. And you know, they've got a couple of really good players. Kendall Lentz didn't play well in that first game, but she's a D1 transfer from Stetson, who I know can definitely light up the court. And so we've got to do a good job on her. And then Jordan Jenkins was one that played very well at their place. And then Cam Daly, one of their kind of, you know, role players, seemed to have a really big game. So I guess she's stepping out and not really going to be a role player for him anymore. And she might be in the spotlight. I think she scored 16 points or something like that that game that they played. So we've got our work cut out for us.
I think of Cam Daly, it seems like her name sticks out to me as I look back to the games that she's played against Midwestern State. Trying to figure out why, but it seems like she's always been a presence on the floor whenever she's played the Mustangs.
Oh, yeah, definitely. She's a good rebounder for them. She's going to run the offense. She's going to set really good screens, and so she'll slip really well out of those screens, and we know we've got to just find her at all times and keep her off the boards.
And then you look at the Lone Star Conference. As of right now, everybody has finally played a game as Angelo State got on the floor and had to take on Lubbock Christian, and so Lubbock Christian sweeps that series. But you look at the West Division right now, Lubbock Christian at 6-0, West Texas A&M 6-1, MSU coming in at 5-2, UT Permian Basin 2-6, and of course Angelo State at 0-2. What does that mean? That means that Mustangs are third in the West Division, but really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't mean much.
No, it doesn't mean much right now, especially with the point system that'll get unveiled here in a few weeks, that we hear from the Lone Star for the general public to see the actual point system and how it all works, where you get more points for home wins versus road wins and wins versus teams that have an above 500 record and all that stuff and all the calculations that go into that. So we just got to take it one game at a time. And, you know, even with all the point system, it really is going to change, you know, all the way up into the last week of the season. So we just know that we got to take care of what we can control, which is our games, and everything else will work out.
The one thing that does look pretty sure of is the West Division is the best division. If you look at the South Division, A&M International leading the way at 8-1, then A&M Kingsville at 4-4. The remainder of the teams under 500. A&M Commerce 5-1, which the one comes from Midwestern State, and Cameron's at 3-3. Oklahoma Christian at 2-2, and the other two teams are under 500. So it does look like in a point system, you may be in the best division.
Yeah, and that'll definitely help out with more games played against teams that have a higher win percentage. And so we just got to make sure we take care of our business and don't drop any of those. But even though if you do potentially drop those to good teams, they kind of don't hurt you. And so we just got to, again, take care of our own business. And, yeah, each division, the way even though it shakes out now where it looks like one division's tougher than the other, that's you know, kind of the history of the Lone Star is we're going to beat up on each other all the way to the last week of the season. And so, you know, a lot of these standings are going to change and go up and down. And so we'll just have to keep watching and keep playing hard.
Now, you talk about the important things. You took a trip to Lubbock on Sunday as Texas Tech women's basketball honoring Coach Johnson, dedicating the bench. And what was that experience like? And kind of explain or just describe that.
Oh, it was a tremendous experience. We were so happy to be invited to take part in the bench unveiling. It's got Coach J's name on it and all of her accomplishments and her quote. And so it's right next to the national championship bench, right outside the United Spirit Arena, to where you know the Texas Tech women's team, every time they walk into the facility, are going to walk right by Coach J's bench. And so, you know, they'll get a daily reminder of, you know, what she meant to that program. And so it was a true honor to be a part of that. And they had a great celebration at halftime on the Jumbotron. And, you know, the Texas Tech Lady Raiders played very well against number 21 ranked UT, and they were definitely played inspired because they took down 21 ranked UT, and they were celebrating the locker room. And you know, they a lot of credit to Coach J went to her and her presence for them. And so, you know, it's just another, you know, shining example of how amazing Coach J was, that she's still inspiring everybody and she's inspiring our current club. We talk about her daily. And so they put a huge mural of her up in the one of the stairwells of their new practice facility that we got to see. And so just to see, you know, Coach Shea was always larger than life, and now she definitely is 30-foot, you know, huge mural of her cutting down the nets in 93 winning the national championship, that it'll be there in that facility is truly amazing. And it was great to see.
And the quote, success sounds like hard work.
Yeah, that was Coach Shea through and through. You know, she was always wanting to grind out, you know, everything that we did. And so, and I know even Coach Gerlich mentioned it in her speech during the presentation, that, you know, Coach Day would kind of be a little annoyed. There's a lot of fuss being made about her because she was so humble. And so, but, you know, just it is what it is. And we're going to continue to honor her, and because she's meant so much to all of us.
You went, you had your wife, Angie, and Reagan Foster was there as well. But you also had a mix of current players and former players as well.
Yeah, it was kind of I don't know if that was meant to be kind of spur of the moment, but we were you know, invited, and we had some former players, Mika Schneider, Avery Queen, Whitney Taylor, who are all living out there in the Lubbock area right now. Two are going to school. You know, Mika's going to getting her master's at Texas Tech, and Avery Queen's going to Texas Tech Pharmacology School. And then Whitney Taylor's out there living as well. And then so Hannah Reynolds was able to make the trip and drive out too, because she's so close with those three. And so it was nice having all of them out there to witness it as well, along with Coach DJ and Coach Toy came with me as well to experience it.
Kind of hard to not think of them as like former players and being alums of the program. Yeah. At the same time being assistant coaches and being so helpful for you.
Yeah, no, and you know, Krista Gerlich, who's now the head coach at Texas Tech, she was, you know, she was happy to see us all, but then she was quickly reminded that, yeah, the last time she saw Coach DJ and Coach Toy, we were giving her an L. So she was quickly to, you know, give them compliments that she's glad that she doesn't have to play against them anymore.
I'm sure she remembers both, but especially yeah. Diana Jones with the one. What I can always remember that she had the tying three-pointer in regulation, and then one on the buzzer beater in overtime. And no, DJ, it was not a charge.
Yeah, no, in my mind, it definitely wasn't. But I'm sure WT fans will see it otherwise. But, yeah, no, it was Coach Gerlich's done an amazing thing, what she's building at Texas Tech and her relationship with our program. She's been nothing but supportive, and, you know, we wish her and the Lady Raiders nothing but success in the future.
Look forward to hopefully having the Mustangs out at Texas Tech, possibly an exhibition.
That would be awesome. We'll definitely be in talks about that. We don't know when, where, but I'm sure we'll work something out here in the future. And yeah, hopefully, especially with, you know, us joining the Texas Tech system, maybe we can make that a reoccurring thing, being, you know, sister schools officially here in the coming months. And so we'll just take it in stride. It'd be great to get another game in United Spirit Arena.
Looking forward to the games down in Denton this week, and looking forward to continued success.
Yep. Thanks for all y'all's support, and tune in when you can this weekend, and we'll play hard for you.
Midwestern State at Texas Women's. Those games will be in Denton's Kitty McGee Arena on Friday and Saturday, and will be available on the Mustangs on the audio portion on the Mustangs Digital Network on Friday. That game tips off at 5 p.m. Saturday, the teams will play at 3. Been a good one. Enjoyed the time here with you today, Chris.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Staying Gang Women's Basketball Podcast on the Mustangs Digital Network. Staying Gang Basketball Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers, drop weekly on the Midwestern State Digital Network. We invite you to keep up with the podcast on social media at MSU Mustangs on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Want to listen to or download the cast? Go to MSUMustangs.com/podcast. You've been listening to the Staying Gang Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network.